What's up, everybody? This is No Truer 2 Plus 1. I'm your host, Troy Thompson. Over there is...
Marlon Sadler.
And our plus one is...
Elijah Fraser.
Thank you for tuning in today. What's going on, fellas?
Plenty.
So what happened this past week? Let's get into it. What's going on? What's new and exciting in the world?
I don't know. What did I do? Are you on? Personally, I went to Cedar Point.
You went to Cedar Point?
Yeah.
And you discovered what?
I discovered, I think, I don't know if this is the end of the road or not, but...
he does.
Yeah.
He hit that one roller coaster, he does.
Yeah, I got on two roller coasters, and then third one was the Air Max.
Yeah, that's not.
And once
not
I got off of Air Max, my day was a wrap.
But that's not really a roller coaster. So.
It's a ride.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's. See, nah. What my man over there is talking about are G forces, and that particular ride didn't have the G forces he was okay with. Yeah, he was like, nope.
It totally ruined my day. I looked at my wife. I said, I don't really feel that good.
Just you and your wife.
We had another friend, Kristen, was with us. But
oh, so you had a few.
Yeah,
three
yeah.
Of you, so.
Yeah, it was three of us on there. And, mm-hmm. She looked back at me and said, yeah, I'm kind of nauseous, too. Mm-hmm. And then I went and got the Wicked Twister after that.
Love
and,
it.
And then after that, you know, that's when I was walking around like.
Was you sweating?
I was sweating. The stomach was turning.
Mm. And you wanted to go find somewhere cold to lay.
I needed somewhere cool just to. Sit down and drink a Sprite.
Drink your Sprite, just some ginger ale.
Some for your tummy.
But listen, we can't get old, all right? The other day, we were playing basketball, and he turned your ankle, and then he said, I'm done. He said, I'm done.
Like done for forever.
Like done. He said he was done forever.
Yeah.
It's not true.
But you can't do that. I'm not going to let you do that. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to run an intervention. And we're going to wear, like, basketball jerseys and take you to Cedar Point and force you to ride all the rides. We're not going
to
do that.
Yes to everything but the basketball jerseys.
No, we're going to wear jerseys and not put T-shirts on underneath
them. Oh, absolutely not. Nope.
Let's just get the short shorts and the high-top socks.
I'm okay with short shorts and high-top socks. First of all, I'm not looking at that. Whatever he's doing over there, I'm not even – that court vision.
This is no truer.
No,
this is the no truer.
That's
the truth.
Well, I'm going to just take you to the gym, and I'm going to just show you some guys older than you still playing to motivate you. Okay. See?
What's the matter, Marlon?
I'll just sit on the sideline and cheer them old guys on.
He did, too. He sat there and got some awesome video of me working youngsters on the floor.
Is that Who's that video?
Over there? Your fingers are going really fast. What's going on over there? Let's talk about that.
We can't.
We can't talk about what you're texting about?
We can't talk about
private
what I'm
stuff.
Texting about for a reason, strategically.
Okay. Right. What's in the news? What happened this weekend?
Whoa, you just...
I cut you off because you were getting ready.
You don't know where that was going.
You don't want to share.
Okay, you didn't want to share, so I was moving on.
Yeah, but there could be other dynamics that could still pique your interest, and you could be... Too late. I'm offended.
That's fine. Let's go back over to Marlon.
He's on his phone. What you doing, Marlon?
You know, I'm looking up current.
Current events.
What's going on?
Somebody tell me what happened. Now, we were talking about this before we went on air.
Current events?
Yeah.
Yes. The young girl, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, absolutely.
What?
What about
And then we'll
Kevin
get to
Hart?
The young girl who ended up in a freezer.
No, it's a lot more than what people think. Like, because if you really want to get into this, I'll
Kevin
tell
Hart or the young
Kevin
girl?
Hart, Kevin not Hart, not the young girl.
It's not a whole lot to get into.
It is a whole lot
cheated on
to
his
get
wife,
into.
Right?
No, but
no,
see,
he didn't.
They're,
did
they're,
he cheat on his wife?
He did cheat on his wife.
You see how much I know about.
So what happened?
What's going
he
on?
He cheated on his wife, that. But the bigger picture.
But why does that take you by so? Like you seem very surprised by this.
I'm not surprised. I'm upset. I'm disappointed.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's what.
Reason
you're
being
to have feelings.
Is not
that's
not
what the Apple
not
representative
to,
told me the other day when I was displeased.
And that blessed you, didn't it?
It did bless me.
It blessed you. You were like, man.
I'm like, good. Thank you.
That
for
counted.
Saying that.
I'm
that
about to buy
count.
Something.
I did. I was like, I'm sorry.
It is. Because you can get deep real quick before young black men who want to be influential.
Okay. You did. You just went really deep, really fast. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Who want to be influential and change the world. And you don't have a lot of black role models. You got LeBron.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing it right.
And he's doing it right. Name we think for the most part for right. what we can see. And even if not, he's very.
For what you can see, it's good.
For what you can see,
Kev was good too. I see what you're saying.
Right, but so if he is doing anything he shouldn't do, at least he's smart enough not to put it in the limelight because
not to get caught.
The public won't be isn't a fair judge,
right?
And doesn't make it right anyway. But that is motivating to see a black man inspiring and changing the world and the culture. And it's not just about the black man, but for what's going on in the world today, mm-hmm. it is a good thing to have positivity coming from the black culture. And then you do something like this and it's like,
okay, I'm totally lost. I have no idea what Kevin Hart has done. Was he married?
He was married. Okay. And then
he got still divorced, married, he got right? remarried.
And then he got remade. Here's the crazy part. You ready for this?
Yeah, please.
Kevin Hart cheated on his last wife with the woman he's married to now. And the woman he cheated on told the new girl he married, said the same way you got him is the same way you're going to lose him. He cheated on me. He's going to do it to you.
I was kind of going to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You was like the side chick, so.
And now you the but here's the thing. I'm one to believe that dynamics can change a person or a situation. Meaning, you weren't this multi-millionaire world traveling mogul, and now you're not in the light like you are now. You weren't in the light like you are now, and you've got this happy family. You're rich beyond belief. Mm-hmm. The world is yours, and you're still stupid.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
like, bro, us black people trying to win out here, bro. We trying to win.
And
you know,
and that hurts the culture. Not saying we all
perfect.
If
you ain't walking into it with the right character, though, it's going to blow up in your face every time. I'm sure Kev is getting a thrown at him, you know? So
ask my wife, bro.
Ask your wife what?
Ask my wife. Like, I'm in love.
I was waiting for that too.
Finish that thought.
No, seriously. What am I supposed to ask? Just speaking to what you said. Like, I am inspired by not just anybody. I'm inspired by success and
by
creative
your success.
People. Like, so, but when you see it coming from your culture, your Denzels, your Will Smiths, mm-hmm. your Michael Jordans, your LeBrons, your Kevin Harts, your Chris Rocks. All it's like. Thank you so much, because the stigmatism of black people, mm-hmm. we out here proving cats wrong, and then you want to go be this. Now, I'm not saying everybody's perfect. People make mistakes. I get that. But I believe there has to be some type of discretion or I mean, just common sense when you're on that high of a pedestal, bro. You're international.
So what was his response? Like, what did he say to it? Because from what I saw, he was trying to cover it up pretty hard.
Pretty hard until old girl was going to I forget the word.
The second side chick?
Yeah, the second side chick. She was going on what is it when you try to blackmail somebody for their money or whatever?
Blackmail.
It's called blackmail.
No, it's something when you try. It's another word.
Mm. Embezzle.
But, yes,
that's the word. Bing, 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 bing.
Mm. And she was like basically, if either you give me 10 mil. Or I'm telling your wife. So he got in front of it and was like, I'm sorry, this and that. You know, I should know better and all that type of stuff. And I'm not trying to talk like I'm perfect or anybody else is.
Right.
I just common sense. What more do you want? What more do you?
Evidently another woman.
Right.
Me and Lika was talking about that the other day. And I was like, man, how hard. And in that same thought, I was like, how hard must it be to do right and be faithful? But while I was saying what I was saying, the answer had already downloaded to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard when you're really in love. Yeah. Like, it's not, if I'm on my way to go hoop, I'm so in love with playing basketball, you can't get me to change directions and go play baseball with somebody else.
Well, you know, it's something I tell people all the time. How you start a thing really is an indication of how you will end a thing. Mm. Period. That's so good. If you start your marriage compromised,
right,
you will probably sustain a compromised marriage and you will end your marriage compromised. But if you start your marriage relationship You started faithful, honorable. Chances are that the expectation going into that marriage will be honorable, and the expectation from both sides will then be able to, you know, continue to support and end in honor. So,
yeah,
you know, when I see this kind of stuff, it's like I guarantee you. Well, you said he started
how
it.
How they started, so, right.
You know, so that's why when people like start, this is what freaks me out, especially with people who, you know, who say they're Christians, when they begin to compromise their marriage in ways that like we know are compromising. Like if you and your wife are clubbing in the beginning of your marriage,
yeah,
I'm just gonna put my money on the fact that probably things are gonna go bad eventually. Right, something's gonna go bad, yeah. There. And you know, that's gonna end not good. And yep. You know, so if but a lot of people enter covenants like that just thinking, oh well, when we're ready, we'll settle down.
Right.
But you already started compromise. Yeah. So I see people all the time struggle like, well, babe, I'm ready to settle down now.
That's right.
And babe's not ready to settle down yet. She's like, no, I'm still I still want to kick it. Mm-hmm. And so babe's still out there kicking it and doing her thing. And then you want to calm down, but she doesn't. And then when she's ready to calm down, you're like, I'm. And so there's this, it's just compromise. And so you have a license to compromise your marriage. And yeah. That's how that stuff ends. But listen, I was recently, we were all there. You emceed the Unity event with good Reverend
event.
Joel King.
Good event, really.
And Marlon, yeah. You were there as well.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And I wanted us to throw this around today because I feel like the room really resolved what we started to talk about that day. And we were talking, I asked a question from Reverend King about white privilege. I asked him how we can deal with white privilege and how we can really explain to our culture that it exists, because where I'm from, I'm white. And yeah. So, but I talk to a lot of white people who think white privilege is not a thing.
Doesn't exist.
They think that's just a word, yeah. that's like a trendy word to use from one side or the other to defend its position. But I'm trying to tell, like, I try to tell them, like, no, you don't understand. This is a real thing. You know, right. This is a real thing that exists. And I tried to get in the room. I tried to, like, open the discussion in the room. I don't feel like it went to where it needed to go. The level of transparency that it needs to get to bring reconciliation to our culture, it's just not there.
Right.
Because as a white man, I can identify that I have privilege just based on
the color of my skin. Yeah.
And so I just wanted to talk about it today. And I know that you had said something yesterday in a text.
Yeah.
So just share with everyone that right there. I think that will really kick off the conversation right. today.
You know, I think anyone, and what I told you was, I think that anyone who knows me, who's been around me, you know, grew up with me or anything, I don't think that they believe that I'm fearful when a cop pulls behind me. You know, I kind of weave in and out of culture. You know, I can.
That's right.
I can.
I think everybody in this room.
Yeah.
Can do that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and so they don't think that.
When we say that, though, let's be clear.
Yeah.
When we say we weave in and out of culture, what we're saying is, you could go to a white culture and feel comfortable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can adapt. And you can go into the black culture.
Do
the
same thing.
And adapt.
And do the same thing.
I, as a white man, feel like I have the same privilege.
Absolutely. Privilege.
Right. Like I Absolutely. Can go in here and be comfortable, and then I can come out and go to another and feel comfortable.
Right.
But we'll get to that later because there's something.
But not just comfortable. You can communicate and be effective.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I feel that's true.
Absolutely.
That's true. But go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah. But I do. I feel, as a black man, I do. I'm fearful, you know, because I know that the cops are looking at me as just that, a black man, you know, and their perspective of what I'm doing or what I'm up to or where I'm at, you know, I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, what I do know is what I see. And so what I've seen is only what the media shows us. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's what we all see. I mean, truth be told. And that's what, I mean, we don't know what the percentage is of white people or white males that are getting beat up and killed by cops. We know what the media is showing us, which is mainly black males, not even just males, but black people being attacked by cops.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do and I'd done was I got my CCW, got my license.
So you say it. So you carry.
I carry a firearm with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I remember getting it and I was so stoked. I was excited. Just, you know, it's for protection. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, the first time I drove with it, I was so fearful. I was so fearful because I knew that this was something that if I got pulled over, it was going to appear that I had it. And now is he going to look at me or come up to my car differently than he would, you know, in a different manner than he would a white guy?
Absolutely.
Who's carrying a firearm? Yes.
Absolutely.
I do believe so.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
So you say when you get pulled over.
Yes.
You're afraid.
I'm afraid. I don't know what direction it's going to go in. You know, I got pulled over, it was roughly 5 years ago, and it was for my taillight, which nobody ever knows it's out until you get pulled over.
Right.
and the result of that was me with my hands on the back of my car.
Yep.
For a taillight. That's okay. So listen. So let's explain what white privilege is.
Yeah.
Because I was driving last year a number of times.
Yeah.
I got pulled over, I don't know. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that. Yeah. I got pulled over probably 5 or 6 times last year,
mm-hmm.
for speeding, and once for a headlight, and once for crossing or you know, going around somebody. But I got pulled over. And I can tell you that when I got pulled over, when the lights hit me, you know what went through? The first thing that went through my mind. You want to know what the first thing that went through my mind was?
What?
I'm not going to get a ticket. In my mind.
Isn't that something?
I literally went like, nah, he's not going to give me a ticket. I'm about to get out of this ticket.
Right.
And I didn't get a ticket last year. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one ticket
did
I get.
That's crazy.
Right? Mm-hmm. I got pulled over like in this rinky-dink town, like, southeast of here, probably two and a half hours away from here, in the middle of like Podunk, Ohio.
Yeah.
And it was like on an old country road. This old trooper pulled me over.
More control to them.
And I had my taillight, my headlight was out.
Okay.
And I was speeding, and I went around this tractor trailer. And he followed me for a long time, and then pulled me over and came out to my car and started talking to me. Like, I too am a licensed firearm carrier.
Right.
And, you know, and never in my mind was there this thought of, be afraid. Like, I was never afraid. I was always like, hey, what's going on? Here's my stuff. I carry a pistol. Here's what it is. This is what it looks like. Would you like me to take it out and show you?
Oh, wow.
And immediately the conversation that he had with me was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, that's cool. What do you carry? Like, he starts talking to
me.
And he's like, the reason I pulled you over was because, you know, you had lights out. And, you were speeding when you crossed that, you know, when you went around that tractor trailer.
Yeah.
And, you know, but listen. Here's your stuff. You probably. And I told him where I was going, and he was just like, "Hey, when you get up to the next town, you might want to get a headlight." But you know, here I'll just write here on the warning that you know I stopped over, and you're going to get a ticket. You're going to get a headlight as soon as you can.
Right.
But never in my mind
a warning.
He gave me a warning.
Yeah.
But more than just a warning, he was like. Like, we were buddies.
He was looking out for
you. By the time we were
done, like, he was
looking out for you. Like, he protected me. Like, he was like. Like, I told him what I did, and of course, you know, I mean, that changes things, I'm mm-hmm. sure.
If you can get there.
But yeah, but he was cool with me before I ever got there.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
right.
I've never gotten a ha ha ha.
Never
you
got
know?
A ha ha.
No. Yeah. Like, let me ask you this. When because that, you had to notice that he was behind you at some point.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you
noticed? I didn't notice till the lights went on, man. It was
wow. We have a radar.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he was clocking me. Like, I was...
Yeah, I have a radar.
No, we have a radar.
Oh, yeah. You see what I'm saying?
My antennas go up,
yeah,
you
so
know?
You knew you were being followed.
Oh, yeah.
You knew you were being followed.
Yeah, I know. And see, when that happens... Yeah,
energy changes.
Yeah, you everything in the car changes. Music goes down.
Yep. You checking seat checking belts.
Checking seat belts.
You doing...
I'm
what
everything.
What can I do to have him look past the color of my skin? Like, how do I
right.
jump this hurdle?
Right. Because and the thing about it is I'm doing all this, but I know I haven't done anything
you didn't
wrong.
Do anything.
You're not gonna pull me over and find a brick in my back seat.
Right.
You're not gonna pull me over and find warrants for my arrest.
It's not happening.
But the energy, like you said, just changes in the car.
It, like you ever watch a movie and tell me if I'm wrong.
What?
You ever watch a movie and they throw out that flashbang and you go deaf in your ear and like everything, like your vision starts to get cloudy. Like when a cop gets behind me, like that's how everything goes. Like everything just gets like muffled and numb. Mm-hmm. Like everything just, it's like a flashbang. Like it's almost like your vision starts getting blurry. Like you're trying to make sure you're okay because you know, like, hey, this situation is not for your benefit. I don't feel relaxed or protected or like I'm okay when I see a police officer. The protect and serve or to enforce a law, whatever you guys do, when I see you, I don't feel better. When I see you, I tense up.
I got another one. I want to share it. So I was at... So I went over to Home Depot, it was Walmart. I was at I dropped Becca off at the front door of Walmart.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my Jeep and I have tinted windows and they're almost blacked out. You know, they're pretty dark.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at Walmart at the entrance where I'm just letting Becca out. She's gonna run in, she's gonna come back out, and she's just gonna jump in the car. So I'm sitting down with my car in park on, looking at my phone. With the windows rolled up and the air conditioner on, and I'm just busy looking at my phone. And out of the corner of my eye, I see somebody outside my car. I see a car parked next to me.
Okay.
And so without a doubt, like without even thinking about it, I roll down the window and I see this police officer. And he's looking up at me like, and I thought I knew the guy. Let me tell you, he was a white guy. I thought I knew him. So I'm like, yo, what's up, man? So I start talking to this guy. Like, I know him.
What?
Like, we're friends. I'm like, what's up, man? And he's irritated by how I responded to him. He got irritated. He was like, what are you doing here? And my response to that was, oh, I'm just waiting for my wife.
Fire lane.
He was like, that's exactly what he said. You're in a fire lane. You can't be parked here. I was like, oh, okay. And I never did I feel threatened. Never did I feel like I was actually trying to convince this guy that we were friends. You know what I mean?
I wish.
And so he's like, why are your windows tinted so dark? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, get out of here before I give you a ticket. And I'm like, okay, all right. And I couldn't figure out why he was so irritated, you know? So I rolled up my windows and then I kind of drove off. But even then I was like, what's the matter with him? You know, kind of deal. You know,
why is he so upset?
Why is he so upset? Why does he seem so angry? You know, but never mind. And let me tell you this: as a white dude who has that, like, I know I have white privilege. Like, and that's the difference between me and most white people. They don't get this thing because I grew up in both cultures.
Yeah.
So I'm so aware of when discrimination is happening on a subtle level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On a subtle level.
Yeah. Got it, yep.
Like, so, like, when...
Well, you were with the crew when it was happening.
I was with them. So I was there. And I'm like, why are you treating them like that? And me like...
Right.
That's not...
It's like, real.
And so oftentimes, the people I feel most comfortable with
are the
ones that are suffering the oppression. Right. Because I realize that as much as I want to... I know once you know it exists, you can't turn away from it. And so then you begin to like think that way. And so one time I was going somewhere and I had on, I was dressed like how I dressed. I don't know how else to say it. Right. I had on a snapback and I wasn't, like, I didn't have on my suit and I didn't have on my khakis. And I just had on my dress. And my dress sometimes is, I guess, like, funky urban kind of. I don't even know how to define it, right? But I had on a snapback. And I remember having a conversation with somebody, and I could tell that they were treating me. Even today, I went somewhere today. This morning, I went somewhere, and I was dressed like this.
Yeah.
And I just walked in. I had my snapback on, and it was just what, you know. And I walk in, and I could tell they're talking down to me. Right. They're in an office position. I walk in with and they're talking down to me. And so then I'm like, oh, you need me
based on the way you're dressed
to communicate to you more eloquently in this scenario. So I then began, and I purposely, without really even thinking about it, instinctually, I began to use verbiage that communicated to them that I'm not trash. Like, you can't, don't look at me like that. Yeah. Don't communicate your body language to me like don't.
Right, right.
Don't suck your lips at me.
Don't you start
like,
sucking
don't
your
look
lips.
Down at me. Like,
because of the way you're
like, because
dressed.
Of the way, like, I began to, like, communicate to them on a level that was way up here, and immediately their whole tone changed.
That is.
They were like, sir, if you could just want to have a seat over there, we'll have one of our administration, you know, personnel come out and speak with you about it.
Yeah, which is interesting because, you know, as a black male, I tend not to wear what I'm most comfortable in.
Yeah.
And what would that be?
That would be a pair of gym shorts, a t-shirt, and some gym shoes.
Yeah.
But I tend to wear khakis and polos and...
Played a part.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I want to just, you know, I don't want... Exactly what you just said. I don't want your lips smacking at me. I don't want you giving me the beatbox.
Looking down at me.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
It's real. Now imagine, because I want to talk about something that you said, because you were comfortable and just the way you were dressed.
Right.
Now imagine never being able to take your black off. Like that, I can never take the color of my skin.
Talk to the people.
Skin off. Like it's real. So talking about white privilege today, and I mean, just based on what, you know, Marlon Sadler said, and you know, Troy Thompson, what are you talking about? But in today's society, the mark of either being threatened or less superior or ignorant is something I can't remove from myself. So I remember this one time I was at work and I had to make a delivery, and I was on the phone with the person who was supposed to receive the delivery. They were just it was just appliances for their new home that they got at this place I was working at. And when I showed up, I was like, hey, I'm the person, you know, you met with, and, you know, we're just going to get this stuff off the truck and get in your home. And they looked at me like, you're who I spoke with on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. They're like,
you're supposed to speak Ebonics.
The guy literally told me to my face. He was like, I thought you were a white guy.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You can talk white,
right.
Meaning the only people who are intelligent or who can communicate properly or anything in that arena are white people.
That's the unspoken communication.
Yeah.
But I've had this. People say this to my son all the time. He's mixed. They say this to him. You speak really well.
Yeah, you really well.
You speak really well.
Yeah.
Well, how am I supposed to talk as a 22-year-old?
Oh, we'll
interpret that. You speak like a white person.
You speak really well.
You speak white.
On the other end, I never expected that type of grammar or diction or punctual, anything of that nature
to come out of you.
To come from a black man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're one of those well-learned Negroes, aren't you?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
So how then? So here's the
he said,
here's
oh my what gosh. You a house.
Yeah. It,
no,
it
let's just, stop. Let's,
it is okay. What it I mean,
okay.
But here's
so
here's the thing though. You can't be offended by what I say because you think it all day.
Yeah.
You think it all day, every day. You're surprised by and like you said, you have to dress how you know, in a way that's going to benefit you.
Right.
You have to dress. And before I head out for the day, I think, what am I going to wear? Well, where am I going? And if I'm feeling myself that day and I'm just like, who cares what you think? I'll wear whatever I want to wear when my confidence is a little higher.
I walk out the day every day thinking that.
I was just going to say, why can't we walk out every single day?
I literally, just unless that. I'm going somewhere where there's reverence is needed. Like the other day at the
Unity. Absolutely.
It required that of me. Yeah, you know? That, I mean, but most times I don't. So here's the dilemma, you know, and how in the world do we convince culture, white culture, that white privilege is real? Because the good majority don't believe it's legitimate.
Right.
A good majority.
Yeah.
And I know where it comes from. I can identify it. I know where it comes from. Yeah. But how in the world, or so how do we convince them?
Yeah.
And what do we tell them to do in order to get rid of the plague?
Yeah.
Like, what do we tell them?
You had your hand raised. You got something?
I do. I can wait.
Okay. I think, I honestly believe it's hard. It's going to be really hard because, like you said, a lot of white people don't even realize that it exists. You know, we went on our sixth grade field trip. You remember that? We went to Washington, D.C.
Did I go there?
You were there.
Okay. He said, did I go? You were there.
You know, none of those monuments out there look like me.
Wow.
None of the money that I spend has anybody on it that looks like me. So, just culturally.
Yeah.
You know, we... no one that looks like me is celebrated in that magnitude. Yeah, we're not celebrated that way. We're celebrated by putting Martin Luther King Drive in the hood.
In the hood,
yeah.
That's how you know you're there.
Yeah, that's how you know you're there. Mm. Rosa Parks Boulevard. It's not downtown. It's
not in D.C. or nowhere.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So you know. Right there automatically just starts to, you know, that alone will build your confidence as a white person. I mean, this is what you see. This is what's celebrated, you know. This is what's recognized.
Right.
Is
respected, power.
Exactly.
Like relevance.
Right.
All that type. I'm not in there nowhere. You'll give me my you know, my recreation center.
Yeah.
You'll give me my, you know, my day.
Right.
Or my month. I think my entire month is really put there to remind me instead of celebrate me.
Exactly.
I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
Put you in a place.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. Cause here's the thing. You don't get to design a month for me.
Right.
You don't.
I celebrate me every day.
Yeah, I celebrate me every day, all day. You don't get to give me a month. And as dumb as you think I might be, I know what this month is really for.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know. And here's what I wrestle with a lot, because I don't know that, like, the good majority, and I say the majority of people out there, I don't think they are aware of how and what they're projecting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they really consciously understand the insult that you just, like, how much of an insult it is to throw 30 days at you and call it Black History Month. You know, I don't think they understand the insult that's there, because most of them, and that's exactly what it is, most of our societies live within their own constructs.
Right.
They created their own tribes, and they, as much as they want to say, no, I'm not that.
That's right.
Yeah, you are. They never come out of the construct.
Right.
And the only time they do come out of the construct is to go buy some groceries,
right,
to go to the grocery store, to go shopping somewhere, to go to an amusement park, or to go be entertained somewhere. And even in those constructs, they live their constructed lives in boxes among other boxes.
Right.
And so they never bleed into one another.
No.
They, for the good majority. Now, I'm not like, look, so there's these rare people. I get it. But for the most part.
Yeah, rare.
And that's one of, they're very rare. But for the most part, I don't. It's not racism. I can't call it racism. Yeah. I can't consciously call it racism because I don't think it's racism. I think it's literally cultural ignorance and isolation.
It is cultural ignorance, but the difference of what we're looking for, and this is me, and this is, man, this conversation could go so long. Show me something. If it's really about us, do something that doesn't stimulate your economy.
Explain that.
Black History Month, just like go outside of Ohio. They don't know what Sweetest Day is. They don't. There are certain holidays and there are things that create, stimulation in your economy. And Black History Month is one of those things because we black people decided to have pride and believe in, believe in ourselves.
Yeah.
And step forward and be boisterous about it.
Yeah.
And they were smart enough to, instead of fight back because that would prove that there's a real issue, they said, no, let them celebrate themselves. Let's celebrate. And now Black History Month is now in your schools, in your churches, in your city, and it creates an opportunity for people to shop, get together, buy food, produce, streamers, decorate, dances, all these celebrations. It only stimulates your economy. And you can't tell me that this big box retail store doesn't have a deal with the state that has this. It benefits you. Give me real change that has nothing to do with the stimulation of your economy.
Yeah.
Give that to me because it's real. Give me something that doesn't pay you back.
Yeah, I think we need more events like the Unity event that we just had. But, leave big names. And then all respect to Reverend King. I mean,
sure.
It was great. But we don't need a big name to come into it. You got people right around you. You got your neighbors. You got, communities that need to just get together and get to know me. Let me get to know you. Instead of being, because we're allowing, honestly, we've allowed media to separate us.
Yeah.
You know, that has a lot to do with it. You know, like I said before, we only know
it creates fear.
It creates fear.
It creates a wall.
Right. Yeah. You know, it just creates that dynamic. And we, that's what we see. So that's what we know. And that's what we believe. And all of a sudden now it goes from just the racist cop to now just racist white people. You know, black people have just had enough. And so all of a sudden black lives jumped up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that they're right. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but, I think Will Ford said it. Life matters.
Life matters. Yeah.
Life just matters.
But if black lives don't begin to matter, then life doesn't matter. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Or that should be the point. I don't think it is the point oftentimes with that agenda. Because I think it's perverted and used for destruction in a lot of cases. But until black lives matter, then we can't look ourselves in the mirror and walk away knowing that everything is broken and we're good with it.
Like
it's just, I'll never forget this time. Remember when we were at the Lincoln? No, we were at Washington D.C. Remember this on the homeless tour?
Absolutely.
And we first walked. We were looking for homeless people, and so we were there trying to find them. And they told us they were at this one memorial at Union Square or Union Station there. And it's just there's this fountain in the middle, and there's this big wall around the fountain. And when we first approached, they were on the inside, and there was this huge wall. And you should have seen, like, all around us, there's limousines, and all the powerful people of Washington were walking past us as if the people in the middle of there were invisible, like they didn't see them, like they just weren't there. And I'll never forget the moment we became one of them is when we went from this side and we comfortably crossed over inside the circle.
Yeah.
And then once that happened, everyone quit looking at us.
Yeah.
They would look at us when we were on the other side, and they were like, "What are you doing over there talking to those people that don't matter?" Kind of like looking at us like, "What are you guys doing over there?"
Right.
Like, those are crazy homeless people. You should leave them alone. But then I noticed that once we got inside the circle and the concrete wall, and we were in there, nobody in a dark blue suit looked at us anymore. Nope. We had become that. And so I think in order to overcome this thing called white privilege, it exists. In order to overcome it, what's going to have to happen is like white people are going to have to go from the sidewalk to the living rooms of their neighbors' homes.
Yeah.
And probably not even their neighbors, let's be honest, because they're probably not even living neighbor. In the same neighborhoods, yeah. right? Yeah. And if they are, there's a small percentage. And, oh man, I don't even want to say that.
That's where it is.
Because most people, man, like just, and when they do, when they are exposed to culture that are outside of their own, they're there to rescue them, to be right. their savior.
Yeah.
And it's almost, condescending. Yeah. Yeah. And it is like, when I see it happening, I want to throw my shoe at people. You know what I mean? Like, I see people do this all the time. It just drives me crazy. I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't even know what you're doing, do you? You don't even you have no clue right. what you're doing. Like,
making it worse.
And I can't get mad at them because they don't know any better. Right. But what has to happen eventually in our society is there has to be this time where we go from the sidewalks and the roadways into the living rooms and the dining rooms of one another's homes, where we bleed with one another, we cry with one another, we laugh with one another, and because it's the only thing that's going to knock down the wall of division that separates us and that creates this big fear symbol in our culture that right. keeps us separate from one another. It's the only yeah. thing that's going to happen.
Yeah. yeah.
But as we close, we got to wrap up, and we should probably pick it up. Another, you know, there's so much more to talk about
yeah,
here.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because I know, once again, I don't think we've scratched the surface of this. There's so much that needs to be discussed. There's a lot of conversations that need to have happened. But if there was just one thing you were to say to your white sisters and brothers.
Oh, man.
What would you say? What would you say, like, to help them understand what it's like and what privilege they carry just because they're less brown than you?
Well,
it's sobering.
it actually gives hope. Like, I would love to be wrong. I believe it can happen. I have hopes.
Oh, I think it's going to happen.
That it will.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. Because our kids exist, man.
Yeah.
Our kids exist. Like, I mean, just look at the dynamic that's in this room right here.
Right.
Like, my kids.
That's crazy.
They love your kids.
Yeah. Right.
They don't. Like, we're, like, there's a lot of this happening.
Right.
With our generation. And not enough, but a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to put our hope in. Like, where Noah doesn't look at Uncle Troy as a white man.
No.
Right.
That Precious doesn't look at Uncle Marlon as a black man.
Right.
That's Uncle Marlon.
Yeah.
That's almost unreal.
Yeah, and I really think that's what has to happen. It's not so much that we have to get together. Let's get our kids together.
Because they're the ones.
Yeah. Let's get our kids together.
Yeah.
And we'll learn from them. You know,
they'll show us.
They'll show us. They'll show us how to walk. You know, I've watched my kids so many times at the playground, and they'll go out there, and within 2 minutes, they found someone who doesn't look like them. And, you know, this is what I hear. You want to be my friend?
That's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then they're playing for an hour.
Yes. Yeah, like they've known friend. Each other.
Yeah, it's, forever.
Yeah.
And you as an adult, you... The first thing that comes out of your mouth is everything you've learned. You cringe, say, no, it's a strange, don't. Oh, that seems kind of normal. Like, it seems kind of natural. And it's like, that's the way it's supposed to be. But now you're getting into that other conversation of glory on earth.
Yeah.
Heaven. Now it's going there.
Yeah, that's what leads
I don't know
to that
if
stuff.
We don't have that type of time.
I could tell you what I would tell my white brothers and sisters. I would say, listen, you got to shove your foot in the door of privilege, and you have to push it open forcefully and almost with a sense of frustration that's angry.
Yeah.
You have to hold the door of privilege open for those who are underprivileged. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not okay that you get to dine so lavishly with so little, you know, invested. Like, you just get to walk in certain scenarios. Like, there are some things I just walk into, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and it's not okay that I do it alone.
Yeah.
That's why I'm shouting this at everybody. You've got to empower somebody in your life. And you've got to look around you and look around for the people who are marginalized and who are less than or considered, not less than, but considered less than. You have got to shove your foot in that door and prop it open and hold it open for a second. You know, like when you go to the store and if you're a gentleman, you hold the door. Yeah. You hold the door open.
That's good.
You hold the door open. And so what I'm saying to my white brothers and sisters is be gentlemen. Hold the door open. Hold the door open for the people that are coming through.
That's good.
Try not to be so, like, selfish.
Yeah.
Just take somebody with you into where you're going. Like you take for granted getting pulled over by the cops. You take for granted that you're going to get the favored seat in the restaurant. You just take for granted so many things. So, like, listen to me. Here's one way. Hold the door open this week for somebody out there. You're out there. Hold the door open for somebody that's a minority. Just let them through the same door you walked through. Take them with you. This bothers me so much that people who are killing the game, like, right? There's so many people killing the game right now. And I can't stand when I see somebody killing the game and they go places alone. They don't follow people on social media. That bothers
because of who
me.
They,
like, you think, oh, you think you're, oh, man, you don't understand that God puts you there.
Yeah.
He puts you in a place of privilege to throw your foot in the door and that's hold right. it open for me and Marlon and, you know, everybody else. Yeah. Hold the door open this week.
That's good.
That's all the time we got that's for it. Today. No Truer 2 plus 1. I'm Troy Thompson. We'll see you next time. Over there is
Elijah Frazier.
I'm Marlon Sadler, guys.
Check us out. Social media. We'll see you next time on No Truer 2 Plus 1.